Hi, my name is Roy Carlin, and welcome to the show. I've also got Fight Podcast, The Awakening Podcast, Exposing Fraud and Corruption, but with Solutions, The Crypto Podcast, on the road, all things blockchain, NFTs, crypto, The Meditation Podcast, talking about all different types of meditation, but there's also meditations there from 1 minute to 2 hours. And the other one's the Learn Polish Podcast, so if you're interested in learning Polish, you can do that. And the other one is Speaking with Roy Colin, and I just have guests from around the world talking about either public speaking or also about their book or just general life in general. And you find everything on bio.link/podcaster. I'm also a podcasting coach, and you see the QR code there, and it's also on my link as well. And if you're interested in actually going on some podcast shows, I'm helping people doing that. Or if you're interested in sponsorship, you can contact me. And I'd like to thank my sponsor, danielpacker.com. He helps people with anxiety, stress, and addictions. He's got a 90% success rate, and you only pay if you're successful. So be sure to check him out, danielpacker.com. I hope you enjoy this week's show. Welcome to the Meditation Podcast. You can find all our episodes on meditationpodcast.org. My guest today in Perth, Australia, co-founder and CEO of the Undo Natural Meditations. It's a tool designed to support people with mental and physical health issues and teach them how to heal naturally. And I think that's something that's badly needed in the world. So please welcome Kate Zoltan.
Hi, Roy. Nice to meet you. And thanks for having me on your interesting podcast.
No problem at all. So, I mean, I know a bit of the story, but I want to know more about Kate first. And I want to know, like, how Kate got into meditation.
Yeah. So when I was probably mid to late 20s, I had tried a lot of different therapies. I wasn't traveling too well in terms of mental health. So I was looking for a solution to problems that were going on inside of me that I just went through life knowing that something was wrong with me and I didn't really know what was wrong with me. So I'd tried all types of things, and then eventually a friend suggested I go on a meditation retreat, and it turned out that the meditation retreat was with Matthew, who is now my husband, who, you know, that happened a few years after I was a client of his. And it just really, really resonated with me, this particular type of meditation. I had tried meditation, other types like Buddhist meditation, Tibetan meditation, things like that, and I just couldn't really get it. But this particular one just sat really, really well with me. And so ever since I went on the retreat, I have been meditating like for an hour or half an hour at least every single day since that first meditation retreat I went on. And I didn't also realize that meditation also had so much power to heal and to understand yourself so deeply in a way that I'd never experienced before. So I was kind of hooked after the first few retreats. And as a consequence, I discovered quite a lot about myself that I had suppressed and forgotten, and memories and abuse through childhood and really quite nasty stuff. But the meditation really was what got me through that. And as a consequence, as I was learning all of these understandings and education that Matthew was teaching, I came to a point at one time that I just realized that this stuff is never, ever taught to anybody in school. It's never talked about with, you know, friends and family or anyone really. You never really come across people who have this deep understanding of our human nature and the way that we function and the way that we operate. And as a consequence of that, I just thought, wow, this is such important information in this particular meditation, because it's a new type of meditation. It's a proprietary meditation. And I just wanted to get that out to the world, because for me, it's helped me so much in so many ways on so many different levels. And that's why I built the app. So that's where I'm at today. But previous to that, I was a professional chef, and I've had quite a few careers, but at the moment I would call myself primarily a businesswoman. But I've been meditating for 27 years now, and I'm really just focusing on them at the moment around creating an ecosystem that guides people into self-healing and reconnecting with their body and mind, just to achieve mental wellness, basically. Yeah, so I think that wraps it up.
Beautiful, yeah. And I'm just curious because you're kind of still doing retreats, I believe, yeah? Do you still organize retreats?
Yeah, we've had a little bit of a break for a couple of years from running the retreats, but yeah, we will start running retreats again this year. Yes.
So what I'm curious is if you can remember the retreat you went to, and did you has it stayed kind of similar or has it evolved to totally different?
No, I think they're fairly similar, honestly. I think when I was going on retreats, Matthew used to make us sit a lot longer than we do now. It's actually a lot easier now, but I think that is due to his understanding and his expertise in communicating a lot faster to people and to the clients. So he's not having to talk so much and he lets the meditation do the work when it needs to do the work. And yeah, so I think the retreats, but the format is exactly the same. They're all silent. They're all completely silent. Everybody gets their own space. There's a lot more rest than we had in the past. And also because I came in and did the cooking and started, you know, we started preparing really good food from that point on. Up until that point, the food was, you know, was a little bit average, I would say, but I'm very, very fussy. And so we've improved the food. We use better venues. Yeah. So in that way, it's improved over time, definitely. And as is a lot, as I said, it's not as hard as they used to be from the first one I did, you know, like 27 years ago. Yeah, it's very different nowadays too. People are very different. So the main thing I guess I would say that we found is that people aren't able to, they don't seem to be as strong as they used to be, and you've got to be a little bit more careful what you say. So you can't just, you know, freestyle with your speech and things like that so much. So everybody's a lot more conscious of one another. And but the benefits, all the benefits and the changes in people who come on retreats is, I think it's sped up a lot, I think, now too, because it seems anyway that there is a lot more pain and a lot more trauma in people nowadays, and it's more close to the surface. Whereas back when I started doing retreats, there wasn't as much pain and there wasn't as much influence. There wasn't as much deception going on. So people are coming to us now in what I would say, and this is not a judgment, but they're in worse shape than they were, you know, 27 years ago. So yeah, in that regard, a lot has changed, but the actual facilitation and functioning of the retreats has pretty much stayed the same.
Excellent. And they say the way to a man's heart is through his stomach. So I think your culinary skills actually helped you there.
Yeah, it definitely did. Yeah, won him over on that one.
So I've heard it's the story about Matthew, but I mean, I think because obviously we'll delve into the app as well and the whole kind of the business behind it, but you might kind of let's touch on what Matthew's created and how his whole journey, because I think it's very important because it's all connected.
Yeah, definitely. Yeah. So around about the age of 18, 18 or 19, he became a yogi monk. And that was in the Brahma Kumari community.
And is that shaved head and orange clothes, kind of that type of yogi
no,
monk?
I don't think they did the orange. I think it was all white, actually. I'm not that familiar with them, honestly. I was never really into religion. I was brought up religious, but I just don't, you know, go there. I just, you know, it's just not me. Sorry, I'm not sure about the orange, but I think they're more the orange people or the Maharishis and from Osho, that sort of time. They're the orange people. So, yeah, but anyway, he did the yogi thing, but it was hardcore. Like he was celibate. He couldn't eat garlic or onions, and there was,
I'm sorry not to interject, but somebody had said to me recently, And I know that they've been to India and they've spent years doing that. And they started saying, don't eat the garlic and onions. And I was like, oh, you always thought that was good for you. And is it like, because everybody's got these things. Like, can you just touch on that? You know, so that we don't miss it. Yeah.
Yeah. So, you know, like, because they say that it increases the energy and the sexual energy, and because they're celibate, they don't want to eat any food that, you know, promote sexuality, or, you know, he wasn't allowed to have asexual thought at all. Like, he was meant to be completely pure. So this is at the age of 18 or 19, when men are in their prime during that period. And he was in that
they should have just gave him Kellogg's cornflakes, because I don't know if you're aware they actually made that for that to stop men masturbating. That was actually reason. Yeah, yeah. I heard it on a podcast and I was like, no way. And I started researching and I was like, yeah, that's...
Oh my God. Yeah, yeah. No, I didn't realize that. Yeah, so he was there from 18 or 19 up to about 27. And after about 3 or 4 years in, he started... Because the way they got him in was, they said this is not religious. This is just, a meditation that is not religious based. And it was also a matriarchal hierarchy within the order. And so all of this kind of attracted him to it. And he had nothing to do with religion previously. So he just got hooked quite quickly. And after about 3 or 4 years, his system started to throw off this conditioning or this brainwashing that he was doing to himself, you know, not have any sexual thoughts, think this certain way, focus on this part of your head, and all this from 4 o'clock in the morning up and, you know, till, I don't know, whatever time they went to bed at night, 10 o'clock at night. So he has always called it self-hypnosis. And his body started throwing all of this off. And so he started kind of rebelling against the system. And also he was moving quite quickly up in the order as a troubleshooter for all the different monasteries around Australia and India. And so he started questioning them about this and about the hypocrisy that he could see in the order. And they didn't like it. And in the end, they threw him out. So they literally threw him out on the street, all his clothes on the street with no money, because he'd given all his money to them. And so he just didn't know what to do. So he went and asked a guy if he could stay in his, you know, a rental property. So he talked a guy into letting him stay there. And then he had to go out and get a job. So he was very good at osteopathy and massage and body work. And so he eventually just opened up his own clinic. And that's when he discovered the body mind. It was partly from the last few years as being a monk, but also once he started working on people's bodies, what he discovered was certain patterns were in the body of in different, in specific areas of the body. So he'd massage somebody's shoulder. And he was really busy. So he was doing like 40 massages a week. He was booked out 3 months in advance. And yeah, it was a very busy time for him. So he was getting the experience and expertise of this body mind connection, which nobody else had discovered before. And as he was seeing the patterns that were occurring, or the patterns that people were talking about as he was massaging a specific area of the body, that's how he discovered it. Because he was like, hang on, I am massaging another person's body or elbow or shoulder or lower back. And they started talking about this specific topic in that area. And that's how it all unwound for him. So he, recognized all those patterns. And so that's how he discovered the body mind. And then after a little while, he had a very successful clinic. And then some of his clients started asking him for meditation and could he teach them to meditate? And he's going, well, yeah, I guess I can, but there's no way I'm going to teach you how to meditate like a yogi monk. So I'll have to figure that one out myself, how to teach you. So, and that's how he discovered or started talking about and communicating this natural meditation. And from that point on, then he started running retreats, and then the rest is history. Yeah.
Interesting. And because I'm similar to you. I kind of grew up, I wasn't, religion wasn't rammed down my throat, thankfully, but I went to a Christian Brother school and then just kind of realized nothing's adding up here. And then seeing all different religions around the world, I mean, there's beautiful people in each that kind of believe in it and they act on it, but there's a lot that are kind of, and what I've seen is similar to that. There's so much corruption and higher levels and everything. And it's only sometimes people, I think they have recruiters when people are hurting to bring them into these different religions.
Yeah, I
And
think so.
it's unfortunate. And then they become kind of like pushing it down someone else's throat and they think it's the best thing since sliced bread until 5 years later, sometimes even longer. And then they realize how bad it is. And it's interesting that there's like billions of people have fallen for this. And what I actually love about what you're doing, because I'm working for with two people at the moment, and one of the guys, Daniel Packard, he's basically helping people with mental anxiety and stuff, stress and addictions and stuff like that. And he was saying he see it's in the body and not in the mind. And I have another guy, he's doing Brain Athlete, Arnold Becks, and he's basically kind of helping people with the brain, because loads of people go to the gym and they're kind of flexing the muscles, but they don't think about the brain and everything. And I think they're all kind of related. And if I look at my own story, I had a trapped nerve. And as it turns out, I think basically what Matthew was doing, he would have copped it because it was down to stress. And yet I unfortunately went through everything. Like I tried everything to resolve it, physiotherapy, a faith healer, physical healer, everything, epidural, and eventually got the operation. Didn't work, and it was a book that cured me. But it turns out like that. If I knew this information either from Daniel or from Matthew and yourself, I would have been okay. And it, I don't like. I'm just curious. Like for those, even though it's a kind of a practice, and you can do this, it's in reality, it's not. You don't need a master's degree to understand this, but it's the case of just being kind of consistent and find what's right for you. But I bet you've got a lot of kickback of people thinking, no, there's no way this can work.
Well, I'm not sure if they think it can won't work. I think it's more that they don't understand the body and the body-mind connection. Like they don't believe the body-mind connection exists. Whereas, like you just said before, anxiety is a purely physical thing. And it is, because if you go back to your body when you're feeling anxious, where do you feel it in your body? You always feel it somewhere in your body, which proves that it is physical. So anxiety is purely physical. There's no question about it. And anybody will agree with you on that one. But they don't connect that. It's a complex question you've asked, because the way I see it is your thoughts, it's your thought system that manifests into a reality. And if you've been hurt, like if you haven't like a nerve pain or something, like you said you've had, that's been caused by some kind of tension that's been built up in your system for a period of time that you haven't been able to access the thought pattern behind. So until you access the thought pattern behind it, it doesn't, that part of your system doesn't know what to do until you, and by what I mean by accessing the thought pattern behind it, until you feel that, get to the bottom of that thought process, because it's the thought process sort of sits on top of the feeling. Everything comes from feelings. All of your thoughts arise from feelings. But we overlook them all the time and we disconnect from them all the time. So this approach of natural meditation is a body-based meditation, and it's really based in the physical senses in your body, and therefore it goes below thought and into the feelings, and therefore it gets to the root of the problem. And it doesn't matter what that problem is, if you can get yourself connected back into that feeling, then you can resolve it, because as soon as you start feeling it, you resolve it. Feelings are there to be felt. There's no other reason for feelings. They're there to be felt. But we're, as a society, we're taught not to feel them. We're taught to distract from them. We're taught to avoid them. We're taught to suppress them and deny them and whatever, anything but feel them, you know, get drunk or take drugs or anything. Yeah. So it's very important, I think, that people understand that feelings, they're not as scary as people think. It's usually the thinking process and the reaction and the thoughts about it, the story around a feeling, the fear of it. That's the more difficult part of feeling than actually feeling. So it's a very simple process.
And like with a lot of people, when you talk to them about meditation, they just stop. Oh, I tried it, it doesn't work, you know. And I keep saying this, and it's like eating, you don't just eat once, and you just find something that works for you. And like I've seen just on the app, you've got kind of different times as well, because sometimes people use it. I don't know, is it the excuse? Maybe it's just like gets in the way as well, and they just kind of prioritize things differently. But some people say, I don't have an hour in the morning, I don't have 30 minutes or whatever. But like the reality is everyone's got 5 minutes. And I think sometimes, even if you're doing a task or whatever, we need to step away and you'll actually perform 10 times better on the next thing that you're doing by actually kind of, I suppose, feeding your whole body, your mind with a decent meditation. And it's just finding what kind of works for you.
Yeah. Definitely. Yeah, that's why we put that in the app, so that people can fit it into their lifestyle. And so, yeah, we've got like 5 minute, 10, 30, or 20 or 40 and 60 minute meditations. Yeah, we're just about to put a whole lot of new ones in as well, like 90 minutes and just ones that people have been asking us for, specific ones like on the anxiety, for instance. So, yeah. They're great. They're really good people.
Because you mentioned as well, like even now that, you know, like you kind of have to be conscious of how you're talking to people. But I mean, when you get kind of close with people and just talk to people, people incorporate, there's so many people seeing a therapist at the moment. And I mean, if you go back, you know, like 2-3 decades, people would never mention that even if they were. But now it's like the norm. And I heard somebody talking recently that's in Sweden, everybody in the class except for your man's daughter was seeing a therapist. And I was like, wow. Yeah, exactly. Like, you know, it's kind of like, this is shocking. And I even saw it, like, some of the teachers are kind of pushing these things. They're kind of, you know, they're seeing the child, and because the whole education system as well, that, you know, like they're making a child sit down and fold their arms and just be still when a child has energy and they should be doing things. And, you know, then they're kind of going, oh, you've got a problem, you're ADD, here, go to the doctor. And it's being pushed by the whole education system. Whereas, wouldn't it be a lot better if they actually pushed meditation into the schooling system and taught people to be more in tune with their emotions? And then they wouldn't have these effects later on, all the things. And even if something is happening, because sometimes the abuser is so good, they make sure that the child never lets anyone know. But I think that by actually having good systems in schools with meditation and everything, the child will actually become stronger within, you know, even when they get to a young teenage age, instead of being abused till it's too late as such. Like, you know, they really get, for, you know, it takes a lot of time to help them. Yeah,
I think it's imperative that people, or children especially, understand themselves on a level that they can stabilize themselves. And the only way they can do that is by anchoring themselves in their body and knowing themselves. They don't have to know themselves deeply. They just have to know how they physically work and how they feel, and maintain or be able to feel a sense of themselves, rather than constantly having these influences. And like you say, the education system, it's sort of been militarized really now. And I think there's a huge reform coming as well in terms of the education system. And I'm hoping anyway that we can get some of our content into the education system as well, whoever's open to it. So so that these changes can be made, because, yeah, kids have got it very hard nowadays. There's so much pressure on them, and they've got to do all the after-school activities, and, you know, it's just, it's too much for a child. They don't seem to have any free time to discover themselves, and I think that's the main thing that is lacking in society in general as well, that people are constantly just input, and they're not taking any time and space to understand, know themselves, or even just discover themselves. They're in some ways, from what I hear anyway, people are telling me that some people can't even sit still for like 2 minutes. They just absolutely so scared of themselves that they're unable to even understand what is going on in any shape, way, shape or form. So with regards to feeling, so they're so disconnected. So yeah, I totally agree. We're in the society as a whole has, from my perspective, if I look back when I was younger, it seems to have deteriorated in a way that I've never seen or experienced before.
And you couldn't fathom it going like that. And I just saw this week, there's a guy that he was on my show, Ivor Cummins, and he exposed the Irish education training system that they've just now, and they've done it in a cartoon way. And it's like, you know, what's coming from America? Like, yeah, if you want to be a girl, yeah, that's okay. If you want to change to be a boy, and if you're non-binary.
Yeah.
And I mean, that's coming from the education in Ireland to the teachers, which in turn is pushing out. And like, these are mental issues, and they're pushing, like a teacher has no training or anything like that. And at that age, I mean, if somebody's in their 25s or 20, you know, like that, and they realize that they want that, that's up to them and that's okay. But now we've got a system where they're actually, you know, they're kind of encouraging it because that's the narrative that's being pushed around the world. And I don't know, has it got to your side of the pond? But when you see that kind of thing going on, it's like, the more stuff that like that you're doing, it's kind of bringing calm, because sometimes it's even in the house, the confusion, because like the way so many people, they're barely surviving and they're doing three jobs and everything, and the confusion, they're not paying attention. But when I think when you're more in tune with yourself, one, you kind of get more focused and you can kind of realize, hey, there's more to life than me working three jobs. Maybe I should do two and have more time. You don't have to be taking on places like Disneyland and things like that, but just going for a walk in the park and stuff like that. And I think when the parents are more in tune with themselves, one, there's no road rage. They're not doing the anger issue. They're like, so the child is there watching everything. And when they see that the parent is in control, that's the best form of education, I believe, that can the society can improve.
I would just bring up the point also that it's also very important at this time in history, I would say, to be able to discern reality from illusion, and also be able to know when you're being influenced, or when you're, you know, whether it's harmful influence or healthy influence. So that's why I always say meditation is an absolute necessity. It's no longer a luxury anymore, because there is just too much influence and deception going on in the world at the moment. So, but yeah, it's the only way to love you can look it, after it? Yourself. Hmm?
It's to love the meditation, that it's when you love what you're doing, whatever form that you find you like, then it no longer becomes a task. It becomes like having that beautiful, you know, like I like a lemon coffee in the morning. I know people think it's weird, but I squeeze a full lemon, and people say, don't drink coffee, it's bad for you. But I mean, I don't drink too much coffee, but I love, and that gives me a really nice feeling and everything. And I think it's the same with the you know, that you're not kind of going, oh, I need to find the time to fit this in. You just, it becomes that you love to do it, that you kind of then. And I think that's the most important thing.
Definitely. Yeah, you need to do it because you love it. There shouldn't be discipline involved. If you need to discipline yourself to do it, then there's something wrong with the meditation you're doing, or you haven't found the right one, because it shouldn't be discipline. Like you say, you should love it. I love meditating every day. I look forward to it. It's just so interesting, and it's so relaxing for me as well. It's, you know, you see the animals parked out under the trees when it's really hot, and they're just lying around relaxed, and that's like their meditation. That's how I feel in meditation. It's like, this is my time. It's an absolute relief on my system for me to just be exactly how I am, feel exactly how I am, and also at the same time know who I am, but with no goals attached at all, because in this particular natural meditation, there's no goal. You just sit there still as you can and feel the sensations in your body and just feel whatever arises with for you that day. So it's like a lesson on just how to become interested in yourself and how to understand what's going on in your system that day. It's so simple and so basic, but from that comes so much understanding and information about yourself, but also how you relate to work, the world, and how you relate to others. And yeah, it's just, I just find it so interesting. It's challenging, of course, at times, especially if you're sitting on a meditation retreat and you've got pain and all sorts of, you know, deep issues or feelings coming up. It's pretty intense, but at the same time, there's just this pure satisfaction and fulfillment that I just can't find. I mean, I'm very fulfilled in life anyway, but yeah, it's generally you can't find that in any other area of your life. So yeah, I think it's awesome hobby.
And do you touch on breath work? Do you go into breath work with your retreats?
No, we don't do any of that. It's all body based. We try not to do we don't really do focusing or anything like that or visualization, because the way my understanding is anyway, that's kind of you're starting the thought process. And because the way I understand it is that if you're using thinking to create a state in yourself, you're in some way manifesting something different to what you are. Whereas with this meditation, we just want to understand ourselves exactly how we are, whether that's, you know, happy or sad or frightened or anxious or any feeling, whatever's going on in your system. You just want to understand that feeling as it is and leave it be and get out of the way of that feeling and just feel it so that you can resolve the feeling. And it's not a goal to resolve the feeling to get rid of it. It's more of an interest in that feeling so that you understand yourself more deeply and what that feeling is trying to tell you. So from that perspective, if you're thinking about a feeling, then you're not actually feeling the feeling. So you are interfering with it. So it's a very simplistic meditation and pure meditation, if you like, from that perspective.
And I mean, there's a lot of ways of looking at everything, but I know there's a lot of people that do the visualization and they think about this and everything, but you're kind of setting yourself up for failure, because not everybody achieves their dream house, their dream car, their dream life and everything. And when you're in the future, you're not in the present. And I think joy comes in the present, not in the past, not in the future. It's in being present now. And just being in connection with all your emotions. And I think we have to be aware of that as well.
Yeah, definitely. But I mean, even you are always in the now, aren't we? We can't not be in the now. Even if we are thinking of the future, we are still in the now, because we are in the now. And the same as if you're thinking about the past, you can't. You're still thinking about it now. So yeah, that one's a bit of a trick, I think, that they might have played
and even
on
the,
us.
Even the fly that's joining us in this conversation, he's in the now as well.
He is in the now. Yeah.
It's happened to me a few times when I'm in it, and you're kind of like, I see you've got the benefit of the fly today.
Yeah. So he wanted to join in.
So you might explain to people exactly what's in the app when they investigate this.
Yeah, so it's actually like a course. It's not intense, because you can do it in your own time and do it as slowly or as quickly as you like, but it's 14 chapters and it's a clear flow through those chapters. And there's like a primer, which is a introductory version on a specific topic. So it's got topics like beliefs, pain and illness, the mind myth, judgment. There's the significance of pain, significance of illness, stop harming yourself. So there's all these topics that are in there, which actually Matthew discovered were the 13 things that people, or 14 things that were missing in people's understanding of life and how to live life and how to understand yourself. So it's very well put together. And so you just go through the flow of these chapters. There's an introduction part, then there's also active meditations. which you listen to, and then you take those active meditations out into your life, into your daily life, and apply them to your daily life. And then we've got the deep meditations. And then there's a go deeper section, and then like a recap version on every single specific, you know, topic or in every single chapter. So you just go through a clear flow through those chapters. And then there's also another section which is called the Body Tension Translator, which is helping reconnect the body and the mind, the aspects of your like afflictions and pain. So you can go in there and look up hips or what's some of the other ones, like headache or anxiety or sleep or something like this, and get a deeper understanding of what the thinking pattern behind that affliction is. And then so you understand that so it comes from both angles. So it comes from the mental health side and or the mental affliction, and also the physical affliction. So because we treat body, you know, mental and physical as the same thing. So if you've got, a mental health issue, you can look it up and figure out the physical. And then there's also a body meditation on specific body parts, which is really, really cool. So if you've got a sore knee or something, then you can just go and do a meditation on knees. And it talks all about, it's a guided meditation on knees or, you know, elbows or any body parts, only body part meditations. And get an amazing understanding of what is going on in that area of your body, so that then you get a more of an awareness of what's going on in there and what is causing the pain, or what your body is trying to tell you about the pain that is in that area of your body. So that's super cool to do that. We always suggest everybody does every single body part. And if they do that, then they get so connected to their whole body. And really, really transforms you.
And because I listen to a lot of different videos and things like that, and I like to speed up. So I was looking at the stuff, and when I'm listening to just meditation is kind of different, because sometimes you listen to it in the kind of the speed that it's in. But even say like when he's discussing beforehand, and there could be four modules or whatever. And I see that you kind of go to up to 1.6. Is there a reason behind that or what? Because even on audiobooks, I can understand that. It's weird, but I can comprehend up to 3.5 times. And I can't just go straight into it, but I can build as I go along. And I'm just wondering, was there any kind of reasoning behind up to 1.6?
Well, there was, yeah. I know we could have gone a lot faster, but our kind of motto, I suppose, is the slower you take it, the lot faster life takes you. So we didn't really want people to speed through it, because the reason behind that is because it's more of an experiential understanding, this understanding, because what we're talking about here is the intrinsic essence, like, of nature and of life. And that's an experience. That's not really an understanding or an intellectual understanding that you get by, you know, like you read a book and you understand how to build a car. It's not that kind of knowledge and intellectual understanding that we're wanting people to get. It's more of an experience. So even if they don't understand it, what we can also suggest too is just listen to it and then go back over it again. You might pick up a little bit the first time, go back and listen to it a second time, and then your body will start resonating and listening to what's in the information. And then that way you understand it as an experience and a knowing, rather than just a thought process of just applying and intellectualizing. It's a very different way to understand things, and this also taps into the natural intelligence of your body. And once you activate that, then you actually become more and more, you become more intelligent. Yeah.
And because like some people kind of like to read or understand something, have you got a book that you have created?
Yeah, there's a companion guide actually to the app. it's not the full app. It's only the introduction or the primers that's in each of the 14 chapters. So you can read the primers. And if you want to go further, then you obviously download the app and use the book alongside the app. So it's just a companion guide to the app. It was more written as an introductory guide to the app because, you know, some people don't like the idea of using an app. It's kind of cutting edge, this app, because people didn't really understand, even when we built it, the effect that it could have. And we built it with the retreats in mind, thinking of the effect and the impact that they have on people when they come to those. And we thought, wow, if we built an app and put this information into an app, even if we got like 1% of the same effect that we have on the retreat from people sitting on long retreats, then we'll be happy. But in fact, it's had a much bigger effect than that. People have gone in and lived in cabins in the forest for 3 months with this app and come out with their shoulders fixed and completely different person. Like, they've just lived in the bush and listened to this app over and over again, or done the meditations, and it's just completely transformed their lives. So in that way, it's a very deep, immersive sort of experience that literally has the power to change and transform the way that you think about literally anything, because it is undoing the conditionings and the beliefs and the ideas that are instilled in us from as soon as we're born. You know, we're treated a certain way and we are conditioned a certain way to be a certain person that is not necessarily authentic to us. So it's all about undoing all of those extra things that have been imposed on us through life, whether they've been on purpose or not, they've had an effect. Things have an effect. We all have an effect on each other. So it's really all about undoing all of those conditions and beliefs and, you know, like religious ideas and things that are just systemic throughout society and engineered into the way that we live. So it's in that way, it's super powerful.
Excellent. And I'm just curious, is because like some apps, you have to be kind of connected to the thing. Is it something that can go on airplane mode and you're able to listen to the meditations once it's on your phone, or how?
Yeah, you can download any parts of the chapters, or actually full chapters. And then, yeah, so when you're flying or traveling or out of range of
because sometimes people are so busy that they try to go into different apps to stop, but they keep getting disturbed and they don't work when you actually put them in, you know, airplane mode, let's say, or whatever. But so that works. Okay, brilliant. And
that's good.
And basically, you've kind of given me a meditation as well, which will go out after this episode. So people will actually be able to listen to one of the meditations. But listen, Kate, thoroughly enjoyed it. But you might let people know where they can find you and where they can actually find this app. What's it called?
Yeah, so the app is called Undo Natural Meditation, and it's available on both app stores, so iOS and Android. And if you just type in Undo Natural Meditation, then it should show up. Otherwise, if you can't find it on App Store, just go to our website, which is undoapp.com. And also, if you're interested in retreats, we've got a website called quietretreats.com. So it's just plural, so quietretreats.co. So you can contact us on any of those websites. And also, we've got like a Telegram channel. So we've got a fairly good community around, a supportive community around the app, because it is so deep and experiential. Many people have different questions along the way, through the journey, through the chapters. So we have a very supportive community to help you get past any sticking points or ask any questions. We're very interactive with our customers. So yeah, there's a support network as well. So we've got Telegram and also Instagram, and there's quite a lot of content on YouTube as well. So it's a good idea to subscribe to YouTube, because we've got so many really interesting videos coming out all the time on YouTube as well, and meditations and things like that as well. So yeah.
And we're going to create some code from as well, so they'll get something from it.
Yeah, if you want to, if you want to download the app, and we'll create a code with just named Roy, R-O-Y, and that will give you 1 month free on a paid annual subscription. So there's usually a 7-day free trial, but for this podcast, we've created a code called, which is Roy, R-O-Y, and you'll just be able to redeem that if you're looking at an annual subscription. You'll get the first month free. So you can cancel any time. You can still get the free month and, have a good look around and see if it's the meditation for you.
Excellent. And I'll make sure I put the links as well as your YouTube channel and all your social media, both on the audio and the video. So thank you very much. And I'd like to thank the fly as well, who actually liked to make an appearance by landing on
He did, didn't he?
He wanted to say goodbye to us.
He did. thanks, Roy. That was a really nice podcast.
Yeah, no problem. Thank you very much.
Okay.
Bye. So that's all for the meditation podcast. You'll find all our episodes on meditationpodcast.org. Until next week, take care. Well, I hope you enjoyed this week's episode. Be sure to give us a thumbs up, 5-star rating, and share with your friends. And you'll find all my shows with the QR code or bio.link/podcaster, as well as my podcast coaching. And I'd like to thank my sponsor, danielpacker.com, helping people with anxiety, stress, and addictions. He's got a 90% success rate, and you only pay if you're successful. Also, if you'd like to go on a podcasting tour, I can help you do that. And if you're interested in sponsorship, you can contact me on my bio.link/podcaster. Until next week, take care.